Ed intisimaw Radio Lauretana fuq il-frekwenza 89.3 FM. Radio Lauretana, il-radio tal-komunità parrokkjali tal-Madonna tal-Loreto, għansilem.
Fuq il-programm xellu kontra l-imin ed intisimewna fuq radio Lauretana l-lum 13 april ġurnata sabiħa b'naqra riħ bonġu bonġu ed intisimewna fuq radio Lauretana ed jiena u Tyler u għandkom ġurnata għandkom programm sabiħ l-lum speċjali wkoll fuq il-famuża mina bejn Malta u Għawdex dak jien Daniel Cilia li ser introduċa il-debattitu li sar jekk nistejz bħal fit 13 ta' Marzu. Ser tisemgħu diversi kelliema minn kull aspett tas-soċjetà għawdexija, ser tisemgħu pros u cons, provaw ifmu l-argumenti u iżnu l-argumenti għax bħal kull ħaġa li tiġri fid-dinja dejjem għandek it-tajb u l-ħażin tagħha. Forsi għandek naqra iktar tajjeb, forsi għandek naqra iktar ħażin, il-mina jekk issir ser taffettwa lil kulħadd mod differenti, fiha t-tajjeb u anke l-ħażin tagħha, u għalhekk t-prova t-fem xem f'kull argumenti t-tajpu lażin tal-dak il-sujġett. Ser t-semmew billi huwa saqtejn, ser t-semmew sija l-iskeda tal-lum u ser t-semmew sija l-iskeda mhux l-iskeda, il-programm li jmiss is-sibt li ġej is-sibt tal-għid. Infakkar l-semija l-qed nisimgħuna fuq Radio Lawretana 89.3 FM. Qabel ma xtaqt nibda nsemmalkom dan id-dibattitu, xtaqt ukoll nagħmel żewġ avviżi żgħar għax kont se ninsa. L-ewwel nett illum l-Europe Direct Information Center ta' Victoria ser tħejji dibattitu fil-ħamsa il-Brookies, intu sejr lejn iż-żebbuġ. Ser ikun hemm diversi kandidati tal-membri parlamentari Ewropew li ser jiddiskutu u jiddibattu l-Unjoni Ewropea għal dak li fisser għal-għawdex. U bħallum ġimgħa l-Assoċjazzjoni tal-ħaddiem mawċin f'Malta ser jorganizzaw dibattitu fid-disa' u nofs l-iskola tas-subien ta' Viktorja tas-sekundarja. Dan ukoll ser ikun invitati diversi kandidati u ser jiġi diskuss il-ħaddiem mawċi in relazzjoni mal-Unjoni Ewropea. Kif jaf kulħadd l-elezzjonijiet tal-Parlament Ewropew dal-waqt jaslu dal-waqt ikunu magħna jekk nixtier żball fis-26 ta' Mejju diversi kandidati u meta bniedem ser jivvota wkoll għall-kunsilli lokali. Kull raħal f'Malta għawdix għandu l-elezzjoni tal-Kunsill Lokali bħalissa kulħadd għaddej minn kampanja estensiva ta' ħabtu bibien, ikollhom il-paġni fuq il-Facebook, ritratti, jiltaqgħu man-nies jisimgħu. Huwa mument importanti tal-elezzjoni, mument importanti tad-demokrazija. U bħalma forsi dejjem inħobb ngħid fil-programm tiegħi jekk għandek xi issue jew għandek xi kwestjoni jew għandek xi tgergira fuq ir-raħal jew forsi fuq għawdex jew forsi r-relazzjoni tal-Unjoni Ewropea. Semma leħnek, issa huwa żmien li semma leħnek, għax issa huwa żmien fejn il-proċess demokratiku jagħti li persuni jisimgħu mill-aktar qrib taċ-ċittadini tagħhom. Bad kulħadd bħal dejjem jagħmel l-għażla tiegħu fil-votazzjoni u jipparteċipa f'dan il-proċess demokratiku. Huwa naħseb l-aqwa sistema li s'issa għandna fid-dinja il-proċess tad-demokrazija fejn bil-votazzjoni aħna nkunu nistgħu nipparteċipaw b'mod attiv fuq dak li naħsbu u nemmnu, imma dejjem nemmen jiena li l-komunikazzjoni diretta għandha tkun hemmhekk. U l-kritika wkoll għandha tkun hemmhekk sabiex in-nies iċ-ċittadini jinstemgħu t-tilqim tagħhom jinstema' u b'hekk is-soċjetà dejjem timxi l quddim. Nibdew id-dibattitu tal-mina għandkom sija, għandkom diversi kelliema, infakkarkom sabiex tisemgħu l-argumenti kollha u tiżnu t-tajjeb u l-ħażin imbagħad taslu għall-konklużjoni tagħkom. Qabel ma nibdew għax qed niftakar issa wkoll. Bħalissa riċentament għaddiet mozzjoni fil-Parlament mill-Gvern sabiex il-mina li kienet wera miż-żewġ partiti tiġi diskussa fil-Parlament jekk fimta tajjeb jittieħed vot mill-Parlament jekk jaqblux jew ma jaqblux dwar il-mina u b'hekk dan id-dibattitu tissarraf f'azzjoni politika fejn l-azzjoni politika ġiet isa rispettata fl-elezzjoni x kienet wieda taż-żewġ manifest elettorali. L-istudji kważi kollha lesti u darwaqt ser jiġu pubblikati u issa sed jittieħed vot il-Parlament sabiex jisu jagħti l-barka sabiex din il-proġett li huwa importanti jista' jibda u jiġi finalizzat. Nfakkar li semija li l-vapuri tal-Gozo Channel għandhom jisu data tal-expiration jiġifieri dal-waqt ser jispiċċjaw ma nafx kemm baqalhom vapuri llum. Jien ma nafx fuq da' suġġett ma kif nismagħhom jgħidu vapuri servi 30-40 sena u imbagħad l-insurance ma jkunx aktar safe. S'intendi l-vapuri tal-Gozo Channel li għaddu minn proċess ta' maintenance kbir biex jibqaw jiffunzjonaw jagħmlu ħafna trips bejn Malta u għawdex kif jaf kulħadd is-servizz dejjem qed id-domanda tas-servizz tan-nies li jaqsmu huwa dejjem iżdied u n-nies tal-Gowdu ċeni li jaħdmu jagħtu servizz ferm mill-aqwa għax is-servizz kull sena dejjem id-domanda tiżdied u dejjem is-servizz tal-kwalità dejjem qed joħolha wkoll. Nisimgħu dan id-dibattitu u nawguralkom biex taraw l-argumenti u tagħmlu l-opinjoni tagħkom.
I first of all, thank you for inviting me to actually participate in this discussion. I'm actually doing this presentation in three phases. First phase is to explain why we're here, why we got here, why we got this notion here. And second is to actually go through what we've been doing over the last 9 years, 10 years. And thirdly is to go over the mitigation issues, which I'm sure you all are aware of. I was doing some research on the subject, and I came across this saying, which really caught my eye. I'm just going to read it for you. Seeing it there, I think, it's basically the unification of the national territory is a national issue, and it is a highly patriotic of NMLTs to oppose what should be an eminently non-controversial cause. Future generations will cast shame and dishonor on those who will have done so. I hasten to add, this is not mine. I found this as part of the manifesto of the Society for the Union of the Maltese Islands back in 1960s by Kauki, and he's not related for maybe you would think that I'm related to him. He's not related at all, and he was very much pushing the project of a causeway. He also said that the unity at all levels is the most indispensable asset in such a small nation as Malta, where the collective effort of all the component parts of the country and every citizen should be challenged to the attainment of economic viability. Well, that attempt fell short, and then we found back in the early 70s, the beginning of the labor time, they had the actually a feasibility, a technical feasibility study was commissioned by a Japanese agency, made up of 5 people, and they looked at the possibility of a connection road. They basically said that it is possible, but then it was shelved because of the financial component. Since then, there were no real attempts, apart from today, obviously. I also looked through the opinion polls that we have available. They're available for all of you in the public domain, and these were all the ones that I found, and they all were positive in the sense that they all wanted the permanent clinic. So we go through them one by one. The Vella did a quite big study, a questionnaire, and he found that 82% of Gosdens are in favor, while 61% of Maltese are in favor. Most of the day, 65% of Gosdens are in favor. And again, the trend that we actually found ourselves with was that the younger you are, the higher the chance that you're in support of this project, and the older you are, the less chance that you're in support of this project. Then the GUG, the Gosdens University Group, they actually said 75% of the students were in favor. We also had a multi-independent survey in 2017. This found 62.7% in favor, and 29 disagreed, and 7 were undecided. Since we were working on this project, we did our market research, because obviously whoever is going to take on this project would know what the field is all about. And so we did this market research back in October last year, and we found 85% of Maltese in favor, 82% of Bosnians are in favor, And they're actually, as you're saying there, they actually read even 80%, 98% of votes in this are in favour of paying the same price or even more to Satan. And again, the younger you are, the more chance you are in favour of the tunnel. The social impact assessment was carried out back in 2016. It was updated recently by Mark Formosa, a geriatrician, actually geriatologist who's in the professor at the university. And he found that 82% are in favour of the tunnel. And basically highlighted the fact that people were saying that it would decrease their travelling time and also they would be more comfortable with their travelling schedule, so they were very much in favour. So he actually came across with this concept of social tunnelling in the sense that he actually highlighted that the young Muslims actually are settling in Malta, and what he basically highlighted four drains. First of all, you have the economic drain and the well-being drain. So workers and actually those who actually are being paid less, and also the fact that well-being was being affected in the sense that there are some people actually saying that they have a problem with the family, in the sense that in the morning they have to wake up early, they don't actually see their children in the morning, they actually never took their children to school. But these were small things, but actually the well-being of the individuals. And the economic and well-being drain were leading to the brain and skill drain. So people of high skills, they actually were suffering in Malta. And that is leading to the demographic drain. If we look at the demographic, we know the statistics that Kosovo is an aging population. The birth rate of the last decade has decreased in Kosovo compared to Malta. The mortality rate, if you look at the mortality rate in Malta, it's much lower than in Kosovo. So beware. We have a higher risk of dying in Kosovo, unfortunately. And if you look at the number of school children, this is from actually a PQ I did in my time, that between 2000 and 2014, the number of school children in Kosovo has shrunken from actually 2,314 to 1,448. That means a 40% reduction over the last 14 years, compared to 23% reduction in Malta. Obviously, the birth rate is decreasing everywhere. The issue is that Kosovans our youngsters are faced with deciding between career progression and family. You can't combine both. So you get a degree, you're sought after, you get a good job in Malta, and then it's very difficult to come back to Kosovo. Because if you got to Kosovo, you're going to be paid less. And then you have to forget your own career progression, and you just have to lump it. And that's the reason why the demographic drain is even more significant. So I think we Kosovans, the reason why we want this tunnel, or at least our section want this tunnel, is that we want equal opportunities in education, in health services, in employment. We have to have a level playing field with Malta. If you look at the foreign direct investment in Kosovo, it was only 0.04% up to 2013. 0.04%. We're not second-class citizens. Okay, we should have the same opportunities as the Maltese. And a tunnel, a road to Malta would solve that, would begin to solve it. If you just look at the health service, which probably I'm more confident with, it's impossible that in Gozo you have health services the same as Malta. Just impossible. For logistical reasons, you can't have certain services because the population is what it is. And that's one of the reasons why we have all these health mishaps recently. I mean, because if you have a symptom, a heart attack. In Gozo, you don't have the facility of actually doing a cardiac catheterization on the spot and doing a stent, which is what common practice in Malta. But in Gozo, it's impossible. You have to get ahead of the doctor and get to Malta and hope and pray. And this is something in other services as well. So in other specialized services, it's impossible. In Gozo, you're seen by a general surgeon, but can't be seen by a specialist surgeon. I see John Parch jumping here because obviously he's a general surgeon, but nowadays in surgery you have people operating on gastroenterology, others on prostate, others urologists, others, you know, pancreas, all the lot. It's all divided. It's not accepted in 2018, 19 that you actually are not being treated by super specialists as we do in Malta. So, the project so far, I'm going to go briefly through this. We did a pre-feasibility study back in the previous administration, started off by Honorable Greg Stein, by Mott MacDonald, and this actually highlighted that an immersed tunnel is not a good idea, but a bore tunnel would be feasible, but if you did more testing. Then we did a cost-benefit analysis, which was instigated by the Gozo Business Chamber, which were a promoter of the project, and this was taken over by the government and completed. And since then, Transport Malta have done lots of tests, like seismic studies, bathymetric studies, oil geology studies, mine bores over the whole track. And also the EIA was initiated back in 2018. At the moment, we actually have the construction design in hand. It was done by Cowie, a company based in Glasgow, which was advised to us by Professor Bloch, who was the consultant from the beginning of the project back in 2011. So the EIA was roughly in this area, and we actually did a micro-track simulation study model. You must have noticed the wires in the roads, which actually were counting the number of cars going across in different areas, opposite Bourges and Malta, and it goes all up to go back to Victoria. This is roughly where the port is being proposed, but obviously it's not a final idea at all, because the construction design is just a concept, but it would have to be dealt further by whoever would be the contractor. And this would be the one in Gozo. As you see, the take-up of the land is not enormous. The next stage, which we're in, we're about to publish the pre-qualification questionnaire, the PQQ. Obviously, I'm probably allergic to lawyers, so when I start meeting these people, I start worrying, because it's negotiation and all the lot of litigation, etc. It's not easy. But the plan is to go for PQQ, then we go for the ITPD, and then the best and final offer in the end, which would take at least 2 years, at least. As regards to the mitigation issues, so I'm sure you have lots of questions on these: the traffic, pollution, overdevelopment, Gozo losing its charm, toll, the issue of metro and waste disposal. So traffic, you come to Gozo if you want to go, come to Gozo. That was suggested by an 18-year-old, and he's right. I mean, they're doing the flypass to Marsaxlokk. I don't have any intention to go to Marsaxlokk when they finish the Marsa junction, because I have no need to go there. I will go there if I need. And the same for Gozo. Doing a tunnel doesn't mean that you will go to Gozo, but you only need to go to Gozo if you need. And the water, there are quite different places than Gozo. If you go to Nandrini, if you go to Safi, they're quiet places. If you look for a quiet place, it has to be Gozo. If you do an efficient passenger service, no matter how efficient it would be, or metro, it will still increase in traffic. People still have to go to get around. They can't just leave them in Victoria and walk. The tunnel, one has to pay to get through the tunnel, so there's some control, because obviously the price can be used to control the number of cars and the timing of cars. I mean, there are systems abroad, like in Israel, for example, there's a particular road that you actually, if you do use the highway, the fast lane, you actually pay more than if you use the other lane, the inside lane. So it's, there are ways to actually control the traffic. As regards to traffic management goes, I think we need to think about parking places. We need to maybe think of congestion charge in Victoria, boosted parking, and maybe an alternative route to bypass Victoria. We already have traffic in Gozo, so I think it's not a bad idea to start thinking about these things. About pollution, if you look at the pollution that the ferries generate at the moment, it is 13 times more than if you calculate the car number of cars actually crossing in a tunnel. It's 13 times more burden with the ferries. And if you think that in 10 years' time there will be more electric cars or hydrogen-powered cars on solar charging points, the difference will be much bigger. If you think about overdevelopment, I think it's incorrect to mix overdevelopment with accessibility. I mean, in my opinion, we've ruined Marsa for Nishnadi without having a tunnel. I don't think if you do a highway to Mdina, you get a skyscraper in Mdina. It's development policies. So if you want to control development, just do strict development policies. And preserve the British course. So I think Gozo, there are a lot of people saying Gozo loses charm. I think Gozo is losing the Gozo. If we lose the Gozo, we lose its main characteristic, because the Gozos are leaving. At Toll, this will be the first toll road for the Maltese Islands. I think there will be a regulator, some sort of the legal aspect of it is being worked out. It will be electronic, so you don't have to stop to buy a ticket, you just go through. And traffic won't really be generated, because it's a normal road. And if you can't actually pay regularly, have a transit user, but you can actually, if you don't have that, you can actually pay when you go for your license, so it will be worked out like a CBA. The waiting toll, the average waiting toll will be worked out. And obviously, it's up to the concession length. Which would allow what? So basically, the tolls should be based on the frequency of over the user, and then obviously the PSO will help the customer side of whoever is using it more frequently. As regards to the metro, as you've seen in the paper recently, GOES has to be in the region of 100 to 150. 1,000 population for the metro to be feasible, and this is according to Eric, not according to me. The difference between doing a metro and a tunnel is astronomical, so we're talking about billions, and we know that our concept is around 400 million. Also, we can't have a metro going to leaving people in Mordine, so they have to be to Valletta at least. And also the inclination of the metro cannot be more than 2%. So the tunnel, the water tunnel will be 5%, so it's not possible to combine both. And combining both, you just bust the project. As regards to the waste, obviously it is an issue, it's a big issue, and in my opinion the best way is to do land reclamation project. Land reclamation is not that negative. I mean, Singapore has 22% of its surface area in land reclamation. It actually be positive, because you can actually use it and not use the land you have. So So, and in my opinion, Gozo's life tunnel is a life link. It's four opportunities, better health services, equal prosperity, reversal of the drains, and it's a game changer for us Gozoers. And I think this is the closest we've ever been for fulfillment of this dream. Thank you.
Please, if possible, we'll try to keep to the time. We'll sleep here tonight. So, thank you, Daniel. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is with pleasure that I, on behalf of the Gozo Business Chamber, accepted the invitation of Urd Audash to be with you this evening. I would like to thank Urd Audash for the invitation and for their initiative to hold this debate. The subject, the Gozo Morda Sub Sea Tunnel, has been promoted by the Chamber for the last 10 years. But we started mentioning a permanent link between the islands of Gozo and Morda more than 20 years ago, the same time the Gozo Business Chamber was founded. In the end, we are doing nothing more than echoing what our forefathers have planned and wanted more than 50 years ago. Last Thursday, I was on the quarter to seven boat from Gozo to Morda. It is one of the most populated trips, an everyday occurrence. Students and workers seated in every conceivable corner, sitting on the stairs, strewn on the floor, taking every space available. Anger took over me. To make a few steps, I had to pay attention not to step on someone. In a recollection flash, I remembered a particular trip of the 18th March 1994, exactly 25 years ago to the day. Had to go to Morda in the afternoon, can't remember why. Boarded the Calypso, and the trip began making its way to Amazon because of adverse weather. It was a harrowing experience. Tourists jumping like a can of sardines, or sitting up, being hit to and fro. Never thought we would arrive alive, but we did manage it after all. The next day, the Feast of St. Joseph, I spent a couple of hours writing a long letter to Dr. Fenech Adani, the then Prime Minister of Morda, putting up the burden on his shoulders, should Gozo have a repeat of that fateful 28 October 1948. Action was taken, and the plan for the new ships and the proper Chirkewa berthing space soon came running out. Remember, action needs to be taken. Time passed, and in May 1999, taking part in a BOV conference in Gozo entitled Leveraging Private Enterprise, I advocated the setting up of a Gozo Morda Transport Authority that, apart from having Gozo Channel under its auspices, would take care of the ports and their facilities, take new initiatives to develop the communication between the two islands, and last but not least, indulge into discussion on a permanent link between the two islands. The debate on this particular project was started 10 years ago, and discussion has been going since then. One of the first public meetings was held in February 2011, 8 years ago, and in March 2011, in the publication of the Gozo Business Chamber, iLink, we stated that the question of a permanent link has now gathered irreversible momentum. Since January of the present year, and we are speaking of 2011, when the debate was brought up to the forefront on the national media, what had always been a dream in the mind of a number of people has become a possibility within the grasp of a people. A visit was conducted to Norway in April 2011, after which Eivind Groff, chief scientist and professor of the Norwegian University of Science and Technology, was appointed as consultant to the Maltese government, and he is still acting in this function today. One interesting public meeting of that year was conducted by the same Professor Groff in June 2011 at the Grand Hotel, organized by the Chamber in conjunction with government. The audience on that day had the opportunity to ask all the questions they wanted about tunneling technology. I still have clear in my mind his assurance about the fact that during earthquakes, the safest place where one would be is in a tunnel. And also, that tunnels can be built anywhere, albeit with various grades of difficulty. But tunnels can even be constructed in the sand. In the end, it resulted that there was general consensus of the Godzidan constituted bodies, the Gozo Regional Council and the Church, who all lacked the political responsibility assumed by government to study the matter further. The opposition also gave the thumbs up to the proposal, and the subsea tunnel appeared to be the preferred way to link the two islands. The result of this concerted effort was the report, preliminary analysis, assessment of road tunneling options between Malta and Gozo by Matt MacDonald in March 2012. The conclusion was made by this report was that the review of the number of different types of undersea tunnels demonstrates in general terms that with regard to the overall length, depth and configuration and size of tunnels, an undersea tunnel link between Malta and Gozo would be feasible and does not exceed the capability of current technology. This information is all publicly available. A year later, in March 2013, there was the general election, in which both political parties promised that they would be working on a permanent link. Labour took government, and the tunnel project was shelved for a while. A bridge scenario was being envisaged, and the Malta-Gozo link feasibility study by China Communications Construction Company was published in April 2014. The project was estimated with a capex of 800 million. It took the Gozo Business Chamber some time to convince the present administration to consider the feasibility of a subsea tunnel, and that this project could be better than what was being proposed. In the initial meetings, we were met with skepticism, negativism, and perplexity. But with patience and dialogue, and I suppose with some internal help from Dr. Franco Mergina, we managed to convince. In the end, in February 2015, the Chamber took the initiative to commission Dr. Gordon Cordina to conduct a study on the economic and financial feasibility of alternative solutions towards providing connectivity between the island of Gozo and the main island of Malta. Transport Malta, in a short time, came on board, and in September 2015, the report was published. Establishing a permanent link between the island of Gozo and mainland Malta, an economic cost-benefit analysis of available strategic options, as the report was titled, studied three options. Option 1, business as usual, a baseline scenario. Option 2, project scenario, linking both islands by means of a bridge. Option 3, project scenario, linking both islands through the subsea bed tunnel scenario. The economic analysis presented in this report takes consideration of the following factors: effects on traffic flows, on economic activity in Gozo, effects on vehicle travel and waiting times, implications for the costs of fuels used, climate change and pollution effects. From an economic perspective, the tunnel results to be by far the preferred option, with a maximum capex of 300 million. This report was discussed internally in the chamber, and then was presented to the Prime Minister and various other members of the Cabinet. It was also discussed with various stakeholders and also publicly presented. Copies of this report are available. Come the general election of June 2017, and both parties promised in their electoral manifestos that the tunnel would become a reality. Specifically, the Partit Laburista manifesto stated that over the past 4 years, a lot of work has occurred, and today we are in the most advanced position we have ever been on this project. A number of technical and scientific tests have occurred, both from foreign companies and the University of Malta and an Italian university. We are currently undergoing geological tests called investigative coring. The manifesto also reads that the social impact assessment had been undertaken and that the next stage is for an expression of interest to be issued. In February of last year, the Malta Coastal Tunnel Steering Committee was set up, headed by Dr. Franco Mercia. In May 2018, Transport Malta published the project description statement, and the Environment and Resource Authority issued an environmental impact assessment and invited comments from constituted bodies, NGOs, and individuals. The Coastal Business Chamber made its contribution to both the statement and the EIA in August of last year. I am sure that most of the associations represented here made their own comments. We levied criticism to some of the statements contained and made our own suggestions and proposals. Why have I taken the pain of going through this timeline? Because it appears that many have just woken up to the fact that the tunnel is just round the corner. We have spoken about this project for years in a convincing way, but a number of people, who I don't blame at all, have been thinking that this is just another electoral gimmick. And whilst we have criticized the steering committee for not divulging enough information, mostly about the geological findings, one cannot say that there is lack of information on the project itself. The discussion has been going on for more than 8 years. A number of studies have been published and debates have been conducted. Throwing into the equation a fully-fledged metro system, when it is very well known that such a project is not within the short-term vision of the country, smells of a derailing of the tunnel project. Of course, a metro system is what is ideal for the country, but studies show that if it will arrive to Gozo, it will not be before another 30 years. Why do not these associations undertake a study on the metro as a solution for Gozo's immediate problems? If we just wait and see and continue discussing, Gozo is doomed. The situation of the present service being provided by Gozo Chemical Limited, albeit performing to the very best of the actual capabilities with the vessels in hand, has reached saturation point. A call for a fourth vessel by all Gozo-based associations has been made, whilst the fast ferry service is direly needed. We are also in favour of reviving the helicopter service, and we reiterate our call for all these options to materialize sooner rather than later. But I repeat, we cannot stay just throwing proposals into a discussion. The present boats are nearing the end of their lifetime, and we are risking a complete meltdown of the service we have. In the May 2018 project objectives of Transport Malta, it is highlighted that this infrastructural project will address the accessibility between Malta and Gozo, thus addressing the everyday problems being experienced by Gozitans to travel to their place of work. Whilst it is true that Gozitans are experiencing a myriad of problems to travel to their place of work, this is only just one of the problems of the Gozitan experience. It is the experience of the Gozitan student faced with the problem of unreachable rents. It is the sorry state of Gozitan businesses made to wait interminably with their drivers and trucks unable to load their vehicles because of the double ramp usage. It is the problem of the Gotland traveler and tourist alike, missing flights or leaving early on a 3 a.m. boat because of a 7:30 flight. It is the problem of Gotland patients having to travel for tests or treatment. The list is endless. But above all, the project is not one that benefits Gozo and Constance alone. It is a project of national importance that benefits the two islands. The limited access has led to the application of public services, when in effect, a strategy of specialization would enable the services in Gozo to form part of a national network, serving the entire Maltese population. We are speaking here of medical services, educational services, law courts, and a number of other opportunities that can be created. The fact that the tunnel portals are inland, car traffic will be relieved from the roads, especially in the northern part of Malta. It would become easier for people to commute by public transport, as transport would go uninterruptedly from points in Malta to others in Gozo and vice versa. Saying that the tunnel will destroy Gozo's character is nothing short of a gross lie. Gozo is being destroyed now. What makes Gozo what it is? Its people, its inhabitants, more than anything else. And its people, its inhabitants, are now dwindling and vanishing at an alarming rate. We need youth to stay here. We need families that grow up their children here. This is what we need. Others say that Gozo's environment and natural beauty will be destroyed by the tunnel. Gozo's environment and natural beauty are being destroyed now. By unscrupulous permits in all these areas and village courts all over the island, and the tunnel has nothing to do with this. Gozo is being destroyed now. To conclude, is the tunnel an answer to all Gozo's problems? It certainly is not. But can we stay anymore without this road in hand? Have we got the luxury to continue discussing without acting? Certainly not. Together with us, both Chris Sile in the past and Franco Mercia presently have been bold and ambitious and managed to convince decision makers and takers from the whole political spectrum to take the steps needed to turn this dream into reality. The United Nations Sustainable Development Goals call for decent work and economic growth, innovation, industry and infrastructure, and reduce inequality. The subsidiary between Gozo and Malta is essential for the country to fulfill all three. It will provide an affordable, additional, and more efficient means of connectivity between the islands. It will expand the choice of traveling modes along the development of services by sea and air. It will relieve the country and commuters from the costs and congestion associated with excessive pressure on any one means, including the need to reinvest in expensive transport equipment every 25 years or so. It is indeed a must to attract high value-added business necessary to rejuvenate the Gozdan population. I ask again, is the tunnel an answer to all Gozo's problems? No, certainly not. Alone it does not, but it is definitely the road that will lead Gozo into the future. The future with a plan for sustainable investments, which our chamber will suggest to the authorities. A plan that will give jobs in Gozo, a plan that will rejuvenate the island, a plan that will give a new life to the environment, a plan that will make Gozo the island where one would want to be. Carefully and wisely, we will use it as an additional essential tool to transform Gozo into a role model for island sustainable development, envied by the world over. A Chinese well-known proverb states, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago, The second best time is now. So let us get going. And for own, for our own and future generations, we need to take action now. Thank you.
One comment. Dr. Cassola, we spoke. I explained myself that both Dr. Mechia and Dr. Azzopardi are not at the moment going out for any election. Now, if they change their mind, it's not my fault, but I talked with both of them and they assured me that they have no interest at the moment. Obviously, anybody at this table can decide to go out for election tomorrow, but at least at the moment, am I correct? Am I correct? Both of you are not going out for votes. And that was what we decided, who goes in and who doesn't go out. I think it's correct. There's no need to post on Facebook and try to embarrass us. Because at the end of the day, I mean, your comment wasn't very nice. I mean, so... No, it's not the truth. No, he's not a politician anymore.
Good evening. Thank you, Wirtalesh, for giving us the opportunity as those of Tourism Association to express our views on the permanent link. An all-year-round island tourist destination can only be saleable if there is a reliable, consistent, effective, and cost-sensitive connectivity from and to the mainland. Much has been achieved with regards to the inter-island's connection during the past 3 decades. In fact, we can basically say that now we have a 24-hour ferry service with Gozo Channel today, Monday, will be operating not less than 56 trips between Malta and Gozo and vice versa. It is relevant to add that the substantial investments carried out on the inter-island connectivity must be looked upon both as social obligation with respect and duty towards those living on Gozo, as well as infrastructural investments upon a service that symbolizes the only highway between Malta and Gozo. Notwithstanding these improvements on the inter-island link, the touristic sector on Gozo is not as yet achieving the same growth which is being experienced by mainland Malta. Therefore, here lies the million-dollar question. Does the fact that Gozo lacks a permanent link with mainland Malta mean that it is also being deprived of the much-needed growth that would make the tourist industry on Gozo more sustainable? Is the absence of a permanent link hampering the much-needed foreign overnight stays on our unique island? Those who are not well versed in tourism will argue yet that yes, this is definitely the case. However, the majority of the resident accommodation providers are more skeptical and they have a varied opinion on a permanent link between mainland Malta and its sister island Gozo. This divergence of opinions used to prevail within the tourism sector itself. And the go-ahead signal given by government for the car tunnel has rekindled the ongoing debate about the pros and cons of a permanent link between the islands. Yet this public debate is based mostly on perceptions, as up to this day there are so many unanswered questions. Very often, the local media ask the silly and pathetic question that is quoted so often, if you are in favor or against the car tunnel. This is no way leading to a proper discussion or to form a learned opinion in order to take an objective position on the tunnel. The general public, especially the residents and the resident social and economic entities, need to be properly and objectively informed on the car tunnel. The Gozo Tourism Association is not naive, and internally we have very often questioned the public documents published by government with regards to the car tunnel between Malta and Gozo. From the economic cost-benefit analysis issued in September 2015, it resulted that a car tunnel is the preferred option when compared to a bridge or no fixed link. It is an opinion which the Gozo Tourism Association does not agree with. In March 2017, social impact assessment was carried out and found that 82% of 401 residents interviewed are overwhelmingly in favor of our coming. Then in May 2018, a project description statement was issued, stating that, amongst others, that the tunnel will save the journey from Gozo to Malta and vice versa by 40 minutes. However, the project description statement does not state how much time the residents are going to save from Lombardine to Valletta. However, none of the three reports mentioned addressed a number of appeals, which the Gozo Tourism Association has been asking, and which we often heard from the competent authorities, with no objective answers are forthcoming. The Gozo Tourism Association is very concerned that as yet no impact assessment study on visiting tourism was carried out if the car tunnel is built. Bearing in mind that tourism in Gozo constitutes 50% of the visiting gross domestic product, we feel responsibility towards the tourism sector which the association represents, as well as the residents in general, that an objective and an unbiased study is carried out. In the coming weeks, the Gozo Tourism Association will be embarking on an initiative to commission an impact assessment study on Gozo tourism, hopefully to address the following tourism sector's concerns. The Gozo Tourism Association is asking how will the Gozo tourism composite and scenario change once a car tunnel is established. Is the resident accommodation under occupancy going to improve or otherwise once Gozo becomes an extension of Malta? Will the island of Gozo become a gateway destination once we have the car tunnel in operation? Will the resident island remain a distinct destination and continue offering a different product from Malta once both islands are physically connected? For these last 4 years, Gozo has been and is still being promoted as a different destination from Malta, with a touristic offer which holds more value to the visitor's experience. Will Gozo live to this present mission once the car tunnel is built? Apart from the direct questions related to tourism, the Gozo Tourism Association is constantly asking other relevant questions that will affect us residents. Will the public service application presently in place, allowing us residents to pay a reduced fare on Gozo Channel ferries, remain in force once the car tunnel is operational? This public service application was granted for the benefit of Gozo residents, precisely because Gozo is separated by sea from Malta. We also ask, how much is the toll charge going to be in order to cross through the car tunnel? Sure. These and other relevant questions remain unanswered in the frenzy to push forward the car tunnel project. The Gozo Tourism Association believes that the car tunnel will only be patching up the problems. The car tunnel might work in the short term, but it is not the real cure. If we residents want to find solutions to the problem, we have to ask the right questions. Why do so many residents have to daily to go daily to Malta for work? What will make their quality of life better? The problem is not in commuting, but in the real reasons the residents commute. Residents commute daily to Malta because of better quality, high-earning jobs on mainland, because the Gozo General Hospital is no match to Mater Dei, and our university in Gozo does not use the video conferencing facilities between Tadro and the Sharjah campuses. Therefore, the solution to commuting daily are not found in the car tunnel. The solutions for commuting daily are in creating quality and productive jobs on Gozo, give the right incentives to potential investors in order to attract foreign